lost your crater. It was the first they knew that Isaac and the other USGS scientists had just announced refined figures revealing that Manson couldn't after all have been the extinction crater. It was pretty stunning, recalls Anderson. I mean, we had this thing that was really important, and then suddenly we didn't have it anymore. But even worse was the realization that the people we thought we'd been collaborating with hadn't bothered to share with us their new findings. Why not? He shrugged. Who knows? Anyway, it was a pretty good insight into how unattractive science can get when you're playing at a certain level. The search moved elsewhere. By chance, in 1990, one of the searchers, Alan Hildebrand of the University of Arizona, met a reporter from the Houston Chronicle, who happened to know about a large unexplained ring formation 120 miles wide and 30 miles deep under Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula at Chicxulub, near the city of Progreso, about 600 miles due south of New Orleans. The formation had been found by Pemex, the Mexican oil company, in 1952, the year, coincidentally, that Gene Shoemaker first visited Meteor Crater in Arizona. But the company's geologists had concluded that it was volcanic, in line with the thinking of the day. Hildebrand traveled to the site and decided fairly swiftly that they had their crater. By early 1991, it had been established to nearly everyone's satisfaction that Chicxulub was the impact site. Still, many people didn't quite grasp what an impact could do. As Stephen Jay Gould recalled in one of his essays, "I remember harboring some strong initial doubts about the efficacy of such an event. Why should an object only 6 miles across wreak such havoc upon a planet with a diameter of 8,000 miles? Conveniently, a natural test of the theory arose when the Shoemakers and Levy discovered Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, which they soon realized was headed for Jupiter. For the first time, humans would be able to witness a cosmic collision, and witness it very well thanks to the new Hubble Space Telescope. Most astronomers, according to Curtis Peebles, expected little, particularly as the comet was not a coherent sphere, but a string of 21 fragments. My sense, wrote one, is that Jupiter will swallow these comets up without so much as a burp. 1 week before the impact, Nature ran an article, "The Big Fizzle is Coming," predicting that the impact would constitute nothing more than a meteor shower. The impacts began on July 16, 1994, went on for a week, and were bigger by far than anyone, with the possible exception of Gene Shoemaker, expected. One fragment, known as Nucleus G, struck with a force of about 6 million megatons, 75 times more than all the nuclear weaponry in existence. Nuclear G was only about the size of a small mountain, but it created wounds in the Jovian surface the size of Earth. It was the final blow for critics of the Alvarez theory. Luis Alvarez never knew of the discovery of the Chicxulub crater or of the Shoemaker-Levy comet, as he died in 1988. Shoemaker also died early. On the third anniversary of the Shoemaker-Levy impact, he and his wife were in the Australian outback, where they went every year to search for impact sites. On a dirt track in the Tanami Desert, normally one of the emptiest places on Earth, they came over a slight rise just as another vehicle was approaching. Shoemaker was killed instantly, his wife injured. Part of his ashes were sent to the moon aboard the Lunar Prospector spacecraft. The rest were scattered around Meteor Crater. Anderson and Witski no longer had the crater that killed the dinosaurs, but we still had the largest and most perfectly preserved impact crater in the mainland United States, Anderson said. A little verbal dexterity is required to keep Manson's superlative status. Other craters are larger, notably Chesapeake Bay, which was recognized as an impact site in 1994, but they are either offshore or deformed. Chicxulub is buried under 2 to 3 kilometers of limestone and mostly offshore, which makes it difficult to study, Anderson went on, while Manson is really quite accessible. It's because it is buried that it is actually comparatively pristine. I asked them how much warning we would receive if a similar hunk of rock was coming toward us today. Oh, probably none, said Anderson breezily. It wouldn't be visible to the naked eye until it warmed up, and that wouldn't happen until it hit the atmosphere, which would be about 1 second before it hit the Earth. You're talking about something moving many tens of times faster than the fastest bullet. Unless it had been seen by someone with a telescope, and that's by no means a certainty, it would take us completely by surprise. How hard an impactor hits depends on a lot of variables: angle of entry, velocity, and trajectory, whether the collision is head-on or from the side, and the mass and density of the impacting object, among much else, none of which we can know so many millions of years after the fact. But what scientists can do, and Anderson and Witski have done, is measure the impact site and calculate the amount of energy released. From that, they can work out plausible scenarios of what it must have been like, or, more chillingly, would be like if it happened now. An asteroid or comet traveling at cosmic velocities would enter the Earth's atmosphere at such a speed that the air beneath it couldn't get out of the way and would be compressed, as in a bicycle pump. As anyone who has used such a pump knows, compressed air grows swiftly hot, and the temperature below it would rise to some 60,000 Kelvin, or 10 times the surface temperature of the Sun. In this instant of its arrival in our atmosphere, everything in the meteor's path, people, houses, factories, cars, would crinkle and vanish like cellophane in a flame. 1 second after entering the atmosphere, the meteorite would slam into the Earth's surface, where the people of Manson had a moment before been going about their business. The meteorite itself would vaporize instantly, but the blast would blow out 1,000 cubic kilometers of rock, earth, and superheated gases. Every living thing within 150 miles that hadn't been killed by the heat of entry would now be killed by the blast. Radiating outward at almost the speed of light would be the initial shockwave sweeping everything before it. For those outside the zone of immediate devastation, the first inkling of catastrophe would be a flash of blinding light, the brightest ever seen by human eyes, followed an instant to a minute or two later by an apocalyptic sight of unimaginable grandeur, a roiling wall of darkness reaching high into the heavens, filling an entire field of view and traveling at thousands of miles an hour. Its approach would be eerily silent, since it would be moving far beyond the speed of sound. Anyone in a tall building in Omaha or Des Moines, say, who chanced to look in the right direction, would see a bewildering veil of turmoil followed by instantaneous oblivion. Within minutes, over an area stretching from Denver to Detroit and encompassing what had once been Chicago, St. Louis,